This is Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. The United States Supreme Court's long-awaited ruling on Gill v. Whitford, the Wisconsin redistricting case, came down yesterday. Well, sort of. The court did not rule on the constitutionality question surrounding the claims of illegal partisan gerrymandering. Instead, it ruled that the plaintiffs did not have legal standing to bring the suit and threw the case back to the lower courts, where plaintiffs could adjust their case accordingly.
The high court had been mulling the case over for months. Over that time, we spoke on several occasions with David Daly, senior fellow at Fair Vote, former editor-in-chief of Salon, and author of the book Rat Effed, the True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. And so in the wake of yesterday's decision, we reached him from his office in Massachusetts. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So these deliberations have been going on for quite a long time. Given the length we were talking about here, did the court's Monday decision surprise you in any way?
You're right, yes. I mean, 260 days it had been. It's in the top 10 now of modern cases that have taken the court the longest to resolve. And one would have thought that if they were going to throw this out and back to the district courts on a question of standing, that it might not have taken this long to do so.
Well, and so as you look at how this played out, does this give people on both sides something both to hail and something to disagree with?
Yes, I think it does. There is the opportunity here for the attorneys and the reformers in Wisconsin to re-argue this case in the lower courts and to assert a statewide standing. So I think what you will see is that there will be more plaintiffs from more districts across Wisconsin who were sought out to join the suit, and that you might also have a statewide interest, like the State Democratic Party or other political organizations, that step in and assert their standing. Essentially, what the court unanimously ruled today is that the folks who brought this suit, like Bill Whitford, who live in individual districts, can only challenge a plan that affects their individual district. They can't challenge the entire statewide map. So the new argument is going to have to be that the entire map is what burdens representational rights in the state of Wisconsin, and that it's not simply the ability or inability to have your vote matter towards the election of your individual representative. It's a question of whether all of these districts, when you add up the totality of the gerrymandering across the state, entrenches the Republicans' political power in such a way that the individual Democrats in those districts voting for their own individual representative have their rights violated. It's highly technical, as you
Exactly. Well, and so this seems to get to the heart of this idea that the plaintiffs couldn't prove any direct injury from the way the districts were drawn. But it sounds like the court kind of gave them the roadmap, if they needed one, to establishing what a direct injury might be.
I think that's right. The case in Wisconsin was very much based on a roadmap that Justice Kennedy provided in the last major partisan gerrymandering case back in 2004, the Veith case. And they brought this claim believing that Kennedy had, you know, in a Hansel and Gretel style, scattered pebbles. Well, it turns out some of those pebbles may have been breadcrumbs. So now Elena Kagan has offered a concurrence that will probably become the new Kennedy concurrence for folks who were looking for a silver lining to all of this. And Kagan really clearly lays out that it should not be hard for folks to prove a statewide harm, and that there's plenty of evidence here. And indeed, the Wisconsin case is loaded with it. There's all of the draft maps that show how the Republicans who drew these districts made them more and more aggressive and partisan over the course of 40, 50, 60 different drafts. You can see all of the partisan voting indexes that they used to craft the maps. You can see the email conversations and communications that they were having back and forth. There's a really strong record here for a statewide claim. And nothing the court did today does anything to prevent them from bringing this case again, using all of that evidence again, and hoping that the standing question is settled and resolved. The challenge becomes finding that fifth justice who is going to sign on to it. The Kagan concurrence today had the four liberals' names on it. It did not have Justice Kennedy. So we don't know, moving forward, one, what Kennedy needs to satisfy his own legal sense of what a gerrymandering standard can be. And second, we don't know if Kennedy is even going to be on this court in the next couple of years, or whether he will retire and be replaced by a more conservative justice. So there's certainly optimistic signs here. This is not over yet, but the road is still very, very difficult.
Well, and some of this sounds like it has to be instructive for the lower courts, because at some level, the lower courts to this point had to have been convinced of their standing in the first place.
I think that's right. Certainly, the bipartisan court that, in a very strong ruling, ordered new maps in Wisconsin. It was the first time that a federal court had done that as a unconstitutional partisan gerrymander in the middle of a decade and said, you've got to rip all these up and start over again. Certainly that question of standing was settled in the minds of those federal judges and not a problem. It was not so in the eyes of the nine on the Supreme Court today.
So that puts the plaintiffs in the position of having to convince judges that they convinced in the first place already.
This is a technical and complicated case, and after today, I think we all understand a little bit more why the Supreme Court has never, ever in the history of the country settled on a constitutional standard for determining when a gerrymander goes too far.
Right. Given the long buildup, this feels a little like the air was just slowly let out of the balloon.
There was a real opportunity here for a decision that transformed the way our democracy works, that makes it fairer and more responsive, especially on the verge of the 2018 midterms and the 2020 census. That is only going to be done with better technology and deeper partisan intent. We missed out on a real opportunity today.
Dave Daly, senior fellow at FairVote, former editor-in-chief of Salon, and the author of the book Rat Effed, The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. You can find more of our coverage of the Supreme Court's decision on redistricting at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.